This is a replay of the Thursday night, July 10th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, you know the deal. It's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together tonight. And yes, full moon this morning at about, 3 a.m. Sure reflected it last night, don't you think? All right, we have plenty to discuss, and your calls are welcome. 888-876-5593. Bob is keeping me in line tonight, as best anybody can do that. But that said, he was wonderful. I think he knew it when he sent it to me, but he did my show prep. Yeah, I'm forever talking about passwords because people do not realize how much robotics exists online and what can be discovered literally in a picosecond. All right, maybe not a nanosecond, but a picosecond. That's somewhat of an exaggeration, but less than a full second, a bot is going to figure out basic passwords. And there was some research done. And, you know, you're always seeing this. And when I saw this 20 years ago, it didn't really surprise me. When I saw it 10 years ago, my eyebrows raised. When I see it now, I'm thinking, what are you people thinking? Now, the most commonly used passwords are often some form of consecutive numbering. To wit, over 3 million people have used 123456. And in terms of that, how do we know? Well, a 2.5 terabyte database of credentials was exposed. And, one of the things, of course, the nefarious would use it for their own purposes, but researchers would say, let's take a look at those passwords. So after 123456, the next one is 123456789. That's 1,625,000. 123456789, 884,740 people used it. And then we get to infamous number 4, password, all lower cases. Case, yes, password. Number 5, yeah, QWERTY 123. So, yeah, the keyboard, basically, QWERTY 123. 642,000 people thought that was appropriate. QWERTY 1, 583,000 thought the 1 was going to make a difference. Then 6 ones, about 500,000 people went for that. 12345, well, almost 400,000 went for that. Secret, all lower cases. 363,491 to be exact. 123123, 351,000. Yes. 123456789, 324,000. Yeah, if you took all the 123 and added it, you know, the sequential numbers together. I mean, you're looking at like 6 million people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 307,000. 7 zeros, 250,000 thought that that was the hot ticket. Almost as many went with QWERTY. Are you people nuts? All right. ABC, 1, 2, 3, all lowercase, 217,000. Password 1, almost 212,000 went for that. I love you, all lowercase, 197, 880. And then a bunch of ones, 8 to be exact. Almost 200,000 people figured 8 ones would do it. Dragon. Now, that's interesting that this is the first time we're getting out of the completely obvious, but dragon, that's the 19th most popular password, all lowercase, 144,670 of this particular database, followed by monkey. I don't play video games. Something tells me there's a clue to that in that. 119,000 went for 123, 123, 123. Mm-hmm. 123, 321, 106,000. QWERTY UIOP. Yeah, the entire top keyboard in line, over 100,000 on that. 8 zeros, almost 100,000. Password with a capital P, over 95,000. All right, this is not good. You probably got a lot of keyboards, a lot of passwords, and you probably saved them too, which is good actually for this, because you can go into the file with all your passwords, and I'm going to ask you to change some of them. Firstly, there's some basic rules, and now a number of sites are forcing you to adhere to them, or they won't take a password. And the deal is, you want lowercase and uppercase letters, you want numbers, and you want symbols. And you want at least 20 of them. All right. I laugh because my passwords are longer than that. But, you know, I'm practically writing the battle hymn of the Republic. But and I've got, you know, ways that I'll remember what they are. And I'm not going to share them with you, or you'd know some of my passwords. But the bottom line is that far too many people are using one word, all lowercase. And literally today's bots will break that in a second. The other thing, and I do find myself somewhat guilty of this, reusing passwords. I don't do that as a rule, but if I have four devices that all have the same function, I might use the same password. It's not a good idea altogether as far as that goes. Now, I was talking with Bob about passwords during the news, and a chill ran down my spine when he mentioned barracks boxes. They're one of the simple ways to get audio from one point to another, and they're one of the cheapest ways. And I don't rely on them for anything, but I do have them as a tertiary backup on one of my stations. And what Bob just told me is every time there is a power failure, assuming your UPS is failing with it, that you absolutely have gone down. And in my case, I immediately switch to generators, but immediately is enough that that device may recycle. And if that device recycles on these barracks boxes, it resets it to the factory standard. That's right, admin and whatever the factory password is for barracks. And you can look it up, but I'm not going to share it. In any event, you probably have devices that might do that. So from time to time, check it out. And it goes without saying, of course, if you have a phone, for God's sakes, make that difficult. Yeah. That's just no sense. I have one of my banks. In fact, it's the only bank that I do anything online with, because they have some of my corporate accounts and I need to transfer money. And I've been having a fit with them because they went to a new app and it's just four digits. And they've got to be numbers and there's only four. And I said, you know, you're killing me with this. You know, at least let me enter, as I used to, my username and password. Oh, no, just four digits. So what I wound up doing was I bought a phone just for this app. That's right. It never leaves the house. That's right. It never does anything but connect to the bank. And I still don't feel that good about it. But, you know, that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's putting me in harm's way, and I don't like it. But I otherwise love this bank, so I'll put up with it. But you are seeing now, because the password theft is so common. I don't know if you've noticed it, but you go to the sites like a PayPal or an eBay, or maybe not eBay. I don't know if they do it or not, but PayPal and Amazon or whatever. And they're also happy to set up something in the cloud, or face recognition, or fingerprint, or whatever. Well, the reason that this is being pushed on you to this degree, and we could argue whether anything in iCloud is secure, but that's another debate. But But here's the deal. The reason that they're doing this is because passwords are hacked now to a degree that you would not believe. And the problem is, for you, is how easy it is for robotic action bots, if you will, to uncover them. So for God's sakes, go through, if you got a phone or whatever, go through your phone. There's a little thing that passwords will show you what they all are. Change anything that's one word, lowercase for or uppercase. I don't care. Yeah, give me uppercase, lowercase, numbers, and symbols. Any symbol you choose. But obviously, if you want to have the more arcane symbols, the better. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, I have spoken. All right, so we're going to get to Jim in Richmond. I want to talk to Jim, actually. Fran sent me an email, and it was positively brilliant. So I'm going to share that with Jim because I think maybe we'll get to the bottom of something. I don't know. We got Eduardo in as well. But Johnny is in Austin wanting to weigh in on passwords. So, Johnny, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How about yourself?
All right, so Sunday night, Soul of the City, what's going to be on tap?
Oh, well, just the usual good music. I'm ready, and I've been working on it, and everything looks good for that, but I didn't necessarily call to plug my show.
Oh, I know that, but, I'm going to do that because people love your show.
Well, thank you. And I had a real nice thing happen to me this week because I got an email from Gary of Gary and Fran.
Yeah.
And I had a nice visit with them on the phone one night this past week. I can't remember what night it was.
Good.
But we got to know each other, and I said, you know, Austin has been a strange experience for me. I've only been here like 20 years, and I haven't made many friends here or anything. And out of the blue, you know, here comes these two really wonderful people that I hear on your show all the time. And so, you know, I got one-on-one on the phone with them a couple of nights ago. And we just talked about all kind of stuff, and they're really, really very wonderful people.
That's great. That's terrific.
Yeah.
And, yes, finding friends in Austin is fairly rare. So,
well, finding friends anywhere is kind of rare, but we covered the spectrum of a lot of topics.
It was
really cool because, you know, I, when Fran called a week or so ago, and we talked about this fear factor stuff and the, anxiety and all that, it hit a button with me that I was wanted to share with her, and that kind of helped open us up to more conversation. So anyway, it's a pleasure getting to know both of them.
That's great.
And we talked a lot of radio and all that.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to mention about passwords, I don't use cookies. I think people can easily become lazy. And I know quite a few people that are, but I know this one guy, and I don't even know how this is possible, but he uses Firefox. And he says, well, when I want a password, I just let Firefox create it for me. And I'm sort of like, what?
That's actually, you know, it sounds terrible, but, you know, it's actually Safari does it too. It's not a terrible idea. The problem is it's going to be convoluted enough that you will never associate it with anything you know. And therefore, if you lose it, you're SOL.
Well, let me tell you what, though. Now, he got some computer guy talking to him into storing all this stuff in the cloud.
Yeah,
the cloud.
Right.
I'm so sick of that term. And anyway, I mean, to each his own. I'm not making judgments here. I'm just kind of like blown away. So you know, his computer craps out, and the guy that services computers said, well, what's the password for that? Well, I don't know. And it's in the cloud. Thank God he had it backed up in the cloud, or you never know what they are. I said, you have no clue of what your passwords are?
Right.
You don't know?
Right.
So, I mean, maybe I'm missing something here, but I do it the old way. I go in there. I've got a different password for everything. I don't use cookies. I clear them out every time I get off the damn thing and hope for the best.
Yeah,
I came up with a formula to do my my passwords as well, with a radio frequency, uppercase call letters, two initials and a couple of symbols on the end, and that's my format. for doing that. And it seems to work fine.
Yeah. Oh, there's a number of things like that you can do. And as long as you can remember them. Yeah, having your browser save the password is inherently not safe, obviously. In terms of having them generate the password, it's actually probably better than what you generate. It's not like they keep a record of them. But what you just said, nobody can remember these. You know, you look at them and it's like complete alphabet soup and numerically and all that. So I don't think it's a great idea. I'm not a cloud fan either. Obviously, there is no cloud. It's a server somewhere.
It's going to somebody's computer.
Of course
it is.
It's a server. Yeah, absolutely it is. Of course. And so, you know, that is a number of people swear by it and feel safe with it. I'm not there. Maybe I'm a Luddite. But I certainly come up with, like I say, my passwords are all over 20 digits. And I go to town on them. Yeah, I make them a work of art. And
do you use cookies to remember all this stuff? Or
no. Well, see, that's the weak link in my chain. I have a document. I write them down. I print them out. So if somebody breaks into my house, if they figure out where to look, they'll get my passwords.
Well, that's unlikely, though.
Well, it is unlikely, and that's right. And exactly where and how, I have a feeling a lot more would be gone before this notation. But, yeah, I print them out. If you want to print them out, that's fine. Don't keep the document on your home page, you know, not on your desktop. Not the best place for them. But, yeah.
There's one other thing I want to mention. Do you remember this story? And it's not funny, but it's bizarre. Of the guy who lived in Ohio who... he left a suicide note for his wife and two sons.
Yes.
And he gets on a bus and goes to Galveston, Texas, where he takes on a new identity of the name Tim Kingsbury.
Right.
And becomes the pillar of the community and is also a manager of a radio station on the island.
Right.
Are you familiar with this?
Yes, and he's not the only one. There's a guy in South Carolina who did it too. Yes, guys who, and it can be gals too, but in the case that the stories I know are guys, who think that they're going to get out of child support or alimony this way, fake their own deaths. And this guy goes to Galveston, and this is got 40 years ago now. And now, interestingly, he was a person of means. His father had money.
I can't think of this clown's name, but he was bizarre. I mean, this was not a good guy.
Yeah,
was it that?
His fake name was Patrick Hennessy Welsh, but
no, this Welsh guy was Tim Kingsbury.
Yes, of course that's right. That's absolutely right.
By the way, Gary said we're cut off right now.
Oh, well, that's because Bob is doing his job, and I'm grateful for it. So hang on, and we'll talk after the news. Don't go away.
People too, mess around. They're doing the mess around. They're doing the mess around. Everybody doing the mess around. Everybody was juiced. You can bet your soul. They did the boogie boogie with a sturdy roll. They mess around. They're doing the mess around. They're doing the mess around. Around. Now, when I say stop, don't you move a peg. When I say go, just shake your leg and do the mess around. I declare do the mess around. Yeah, do the mess around. Everybody's doing the mess around. Now let me have it, that boy. Thank you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Ray Charles, 1953, Mess Around. Linda and Richland Park wanted to hear it, and Ahmet Erdogan wrote that, who had Atlantic Records and released it first in 53. And it's interesting, 41 people covered that, including Dr. John and the Animals. So you just never know. All right, so we're talking to Johnny in Austin, and yes, about passwords and the like. And you were saying?
By the way, you were playing the Mess Around. What really brought that back and made it popular again, and like you, I don't watch a lot of movies, but I think the movie was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, where that song was used with John Candy in it.
Oh yeah. See, I don't know.
That would have been the mid '80s sometime. But anyway, it was a movie that made it popular. Like, the same thing with the Bill Cosby thing. The Nighttime is the Right Time. It was on one of those Cosby TV shows.
Because
a lot of times, you know, they stick one of those songs in a movie. People have never heard it before. Hairspray was one of those movies that brought back a bunch of stuff. And it's like they're hit all over again. Same thing with Cry to Me by Solomon Burke.
Mm-hmm.
I think that movie Stand By Me brought back. So now I sound like I'm a real movie person, and I hardly ever watch a movie. But I will say that Gary and I watched this movie about this scumbag, Tim Kingsbury.
Yeah, that was his made up name when he got to Galveston. But you know, it's interesting. You know what happened to him in Ohio? I mean, he wasn't so much running from obligations as running from his past. This guy was a convicted felon.
I know.
So I don't remember, was it embezzlement? I don't know if it was embezzlement. But
yeah, he was stealing money or something. I don't even think it was that much. I mean, you know,
right,
it was a horrible thing to do, but you dumped your wife and two sons over that?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was the wife that caught him.
Well, of course. Of course.
But the movie is free to watch, and I saw it on something called Fossum, as in the popular word awesome. It's called Fossum, and the movie's name is called My Husband's Double Life.
Okay.
That was very interesting. Yeah, and what, they didn't make it in Galveston. They took the stupid thing to Kennebunkport, Maine, for some stupid reason. I don't know why.
Well, very often there are incentives. Like, a lot of stuff is done in New Mexico because the New Mexico Film Commission gives people a lot of money to come there.
Oh.
So some states
learn something new all the time?
Some states are very aggressive that way, and others are not. And so, so yeah, it could have been that. Now, I don't know. Texas Film Commission, not as much, but yeah. So I don't know. I have no idea if that was
the
reason.
Took a little glamour out of it since I've lived here in Texas. Uh-huh. And I had some guy, goofy guy in radio. There's a lot of them, you know. I being one, but telling me back in the day, you need to come down here and meet Tim Kingsbury, Johnny, he's a fine man. And I'm like,
oh God.
Well, I never thank God it never happened.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It could be interesting. Let's face it. People like that, you might not want to know them well, but they're usually probably interesting. Now that embezzlement, I think he embezzled it like from Ohio State. I don't have any idea. How?
It was something, and it was he'd done something bad, and he was coming up to go to court about it.
Yeah,
what happened.
Yeah, and so he fakes his own death, and you know. But like I say, I read about this every few years, and among guys who all they're trying to do is get out of the child support. You know, they don't have any felonious past, but if we're reading about them, they got caught. So let it be an object, especially now. You know, if you could get away with this 50 years ago, okay.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Now, I can't imagine that anybody would get away with it.
I think that happened back in 83, and he didn't get caught till the 90s sometime.
Yeah, now I also...
Gary of Fran and Gary, he almost went to work for that station after Kingsbury had flew the coop back to, you know, he got taken back home and had to face his wife and two sons that were grown. It's bizarre. Anyway, before I leave you, I'll tell you that you asked about my Sunday night Solo the City show. It airs Central Time, 6 p.m. to 12 midnight. You can get there by going to soulofthecityusa.com. or soulofthecity.net.
Uh-huh.
My friend Walt Baby Love, who has been a friend of mine for years, I sent him an email about it Sunday, and he's a brutally honest guy. I mean, to the point where it stings sometimes. And he said, he called me three times during the show, and he said, I can't believe this. I can't believe it. I've never heard anything like this, Johnny. I've never.
Well, that's great.
I said, well, to hear you say that means a whole lot.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
But so anyway, that's when it's on, and I appreciate your listeners giving it a shot. This Sunday, I got some Jerry Butler coming on there. All requests, actually,
good.
That come through my email. Some classic Gene Chandler, Joe Simon, classic impressions, Junior Walker and the All-Stars on the list, the Clarence Carter, David Ruffin, Fontilla Bass with the big one, and got a Ray Charles in there and a whole lot more. You can play a lot of music in 6 hours. But with that, you got callers, and I'll let you take them.
Thanks for calling, Johnny. I'll listen to you Sunday. I'm going to make it a date and remember this time. All right, thanks.
Do you want me to send you an email?
Well, yeah, my chances
you're
of seeing
it. You're not going to see it anyway.
That's the problem. Yes, exactly. But no, I'll write it down on something that I can't avoid seeing.
All okay, right, well, thanks. I hope it goes as well as last time. We'll see.
Okay,
one
good.
Week at a time.
It'll be great.
All right, good
okay,
night
thanks.
To you.
Okay, all right,
bye.
It'll be wonderful. I just know it. Because it's radio, no one dies. You have a good time, and Johnny obviously loves the music, as do I, and many many others as well. So just relax and have a good time. All right. So Jim in Richmond. All right, Jim, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Rally.
I wanted to share with you something that when Fran sent me an email, all of a sudden it was almost like the light went on, so to speak. No pun intended. And what she had said to me that she hadn't shared on the air, I don't believe, was that one of the things is throughout your life, you have been a visual person. So you look at the world visually and you want to find a way to fix this while you're still reacting as a visual person. And what has to happen here is you have to find another way to view the world. Again, no pun intended. Like, I'm not a visual person. I'm auditory. I mean, yes, I'm very glad I can see and I don't run into things, but I normally don't ever get any motivation because I saw something. It's because I heard it. So I think that it's harder for you because your orientation has been so visual. And I think that's something that probably nobody's been really going over with you. Am I right?
Right.
Yeah, so that's something to consider, is there's many ways to I want to say view the world, and that's a terrible way to say it, but there's many, many ways to interact with the world, and what's going to have to happen here is you're going to have to make a way to rely on things other than your sight to have the same interaction.
Right.
All right.
And growing up, if you would tell me something, and I remembered it because I heard it.
Right.
And if I had to read a book, I couldn't retain anything.
Good.
So
good.
So that's how I was while growing up, because, say, like in algebra, I got an F in the first semester or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
And then the teacher went over everything. In with the chalkboard and saying everything and reviewed everything, and I got an A on the final exam for that class.
Good.
And they were all thinking that I cheated, but once I hear it, I remember it.
Well, then you're on your way. So that's what's going to have to happen here, is you're going to have to reorient yourself and not keep trying to find ways to see things.
Right. And I told John I'd be real short. I just wanted to thank Fran for standing up for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Last night.
Yes.
I tried to call back, but you were off the air.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And so I just, and right now, starting next Thursday, I got 4 doctor's appointments.
Okay.
Through the end of the month. And then starting in August, I have... I had the surgery on my eye and the 2 follow-ups and then back to the other doctor. So, I'm booked up here.
Good. Well, that's where to start to really focus on, make it your mission to find ways to become independent without sight.
Right. My sister called me and said, do you want a Kindle? Is that what you call it?
Kindle. Yeah.
She wanted Kindle so that you could hear books. And I told her no, but now I think I'm going to tell her yes.
Yeah,
she was going to get me a Kindle.
Right, I did not know, and it makes sense. There's probably a screen reader that can easily do that for you. I don't use Kindles, but if it has a good screen reader and you can do that, absolutely, you want it.
Yeah, because she said you could download books and listen.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. But the way you'd listen was because there was a screen reader, I assume.
Right, I have a screen reader on my phone.
Right.
That's where how I read my emails and everything. And then I have that app that you gave me. I don't know, forgot the name of it right now, but I use that to read mail that I can't read.
Good.
But it's funny, if you got like a phone number, it goes 1,250,000,000.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be like that. And sometimes the pronunciations are hilarious, too. And
oh, yes. I laugh.
Yeah, I laugh, too. And then depending, if there's punctuation, they won't necessarily know how the punctuation goes. So they'll pause at the wrong moments and all that. And all you can do is laugh.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to say thank you.
Absolutely.
And I told John it would be short.
All right. Well, I'm delighted that you called, and I think you're going to be on your way. So, yes, anything you can do to just put it in your heart and soul that this is your number one priority, you'll get there.
Right.
And
thank you, Fran.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it, Jim. All right.
Okay,
so
bye.
There you go. Yeah, and you know, that really was, and I sent back a note to Fran saying it's absolutely brilliant, and I was glad I saw that email. And, you know, I hadn't really thought about that, but everybody is oriented to a different way of, again, no pun intended, viewing the world. And if you're visual and suddenly your sight is gone, there's a whole, beyond a learning curve, there's a whole reorientation that has to take place. You know, it would be the same thing if suddenly I was deaf. You know, I can't imagine it. And none of these things are easy, but it really is going to come down to how you are willing to take the task up, so to speak, and how you're willing to make it your priority and just a fire in your belly where you are not going to be defeated and you will not give up. All right, and I think Jim won't. So, 888-876-5593. We'll get to Ruth. We'll get to Eduardo. Oh, yes, and room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
Hello, darling. Just a word with you. I'll try to forget you. But your loving is just too you'll make a good man do real wrong.
You kiss me around, but I just can't put you down.
Why don't you behave yourself?
Behave yourself.
Behave yourself.
Behave yourself.
Hurt me and be satisfied. Where is your heart, dear? And where is your pride?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, the Five Royales. Yeah, Loman Pauling. Yeah, the Triad Zone in North Carolina. And, of course, Loman wrote the original dedicated to the one I love, don't you know. But that was 1954 on King. A lot of people say, well, that was their first recording. Actually, 1954 was the first year they were recording for King, but they had been on Apollo for a couple of years. And 54, there was no shortage of Sid Nathan releases on King for the Five Royales, at least half a dozen of them. And Apollo kept releasing things as well. And amazing that they weren't bigger than they were. But man, if you're a beach music fan, you've got some Five Royale things that are just standards. All right, so that was Cleveland Dennis who wanted to hear that, and we're happy to play it. And we've got a couple minutes left this hour and two more hours to go, but Eduardo is in Tampa, so Eduardo, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. First, let me, before I forget, request a song here. Charles Mingus.
Oh.
1964.
All right.
I think the song is just called Mingus Mingus.
Okay.
I don't know. Is that right?
Might be. Oh, look.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it says 1964.
All right. Yeah. Very good. Only guy I know is an album title of declining his name, Mingus Aum. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So here's a more pleasant race than the one in Pamplona. So they have this one in Finland, and what's the Caleb and Justine Rosler. This is a husband where you carry the wife race. They won in Finland.
What did they have to do?
They just race with the wife, the husband, and carrying the wife.
Well, no,
around the track.
Isn't there some deal where you have to carry the wife, I guess, around the track. So you're not just cheering them on; you're carrying her. So wife carrying. It's a sport, I guess. The annual wife carrying competition, and what you win. And you know, this is one of those good news, bad news, because what you win is you win your wife's weight in beer. And so on the one hand, you want her to be light because you're going to carry her around the track. On the other hand, you want her to be heavy because you're going to get more beer. You have ended the hour. You want to hit or get? Are you staying or going?
Yeah, I'll see. Yeah,
okay, hang
I'll
on. See. So that's where we'll pick it up next hour on WGN Radio. James, Lisa from Dundee wanted to hear that. Of course, that was a hit. Yes, like it or not, that was a hit. Now it fits actually with this wife carrying story that Eduardo, who we're talking to, hipped us to. And this has been going on in Finland actually since the 1800s, and it's got rules. They say the most important rule is to have fun while carrying a wife. All right, I don't think it's too much remember the wife. You'll see what I mean. You're supposed to run with her, and the official track is about 832 feet. And there are two dry obstacles and a water obstacle. Oh, yeah, the wife is going to be thrilled about that. Now, You can be your own wife. It can be your neighbor's wife. And maybe it's a woman you found. As long as they're over 17 years. Oh, by the way, it doesn't have to be a woman. You know, the gender rule changed a couple of years ago. All of, these woke and politically correct things and all that. So, yeah, you can carry a guy if you want to. Now, here's the interesting part. The minimum weight of the woman is 108 pounds. All right. So now she weighs less than 108 pounds. They'll put a rucksack on her containing an additional weight to bring the total load up to 108 pounds. Now, of course, they say the big thing is all participants must enjoy themselves, and it runs two pairs at a time. Each heat is a contest in itself, and the only equipment allowed is a belt worn by the carrier and a helmet worn by the carried, the wife. And this is what is somewhat specious to me. There's two ways to carry the woman, one or man, depending on what you're carrying. One is the fireman's carry, meaning that you've got her over your shoulder, which I can see. But the other is this convoluted way where you're carrying her and she's upside down. All right, she's on the guy's back with her legs over his neck and shoulders. They call it Estonian style. So yeah, no wonder they give her a helmet. All right, so it's broken out from Finland, I'm sorry to say. Australia, the US, Hong Kong, India, Germany, the UK, all now, Latvia, of course, have to be Latvia. They all now have contests like this, and this is a category in the Guinness Book of Records. So the original course was just rough and rocky terrain, but now with modern conditions, they have sand instead of full rocks and fences and this pool thing, the water feature. And that's the International Wife Carrying Competition Rules Committee who decide on this. So Eduardo, are we seeing this on television? How did you find this?
I saw this on Inside Edition.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, apparently it is a sport.
Yeah.
It is alarming is what it is. But North America, we have had wife-carrying championships since 2016. And apparently it takes place every day on Indigenous Peoples Day in October. Yes, in Maine. And they have had winners from Maine and Virginia and Delaware. So, all right, get down with your bad self. The upside-down carrier would not be my favorite.
Let's see them try this in cold weather. What do you think, Raleigh?
Oh, yeah. Probably better than warm weather.
Uh-huh.
We're sitting here today at 115, so I don't know. I would say nothing goes good at 115. Apparently, back in the day, in the 1800s, when they were doing this, there was a story about men going to neighboring villages to abduct women to forcibly marry them so they could be in the race, and some of the women were already married. So this was referred to the practice of wife stealing. That is the deal. All right. Well, and it's in the Guinness Book of Records. So what isn't? All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling back to my attention. I'd never heard of it.
Yeah. Before I get into something about my job assignments.
Yeah.
I don't know if James might have covered this kind of story, but so this man who is a car wash owner. The sons arranged for him for, I guess, some kind of life savings of his or something. Got up on a helicopter and dropped it on the street, and everybody just grabbed money. I think it was like $5,000.
Oh.
Yeah. It was in Detroit.
In Detroit. Well, dropping money out of helicopters in Detroit certainly would attract attention.
Oh, yeah. I bet it would. Yeah.
Yeah. and not to mention a traffic tie-up. So. I believe that was Daryl Thomas who owned the car wash, and he had his life savings, which apparently wasn't much money, dropped from a helicopter. Now, I want to know when he decided to do this, and the reason I say that is he died from Alzheimer's. Now, granted, he's always been known for generosity, but was he already a little out of his mind when he decided, let me just drop my life savings out of a helicopter? Apparently he died on June 27th, and now as a final act of love, they've dumped his deal on Garriott and Connor, where his business Airport Express Lube and Service was located, and Rose Pellets and Money. traffic on all six lanes on Gratiot came to a standstill. I guess.
Of course.
Stunned drivers stopped their cars, some right in the middle of the road, rushed out to scoop up the falling cash. And, yes, it was orchestrated, as you mentioned, by his sons, who, you know, this was their first time doing a public public gathering. And, yeah, the father's dying wish was to shower the streets. And so
a goodwill gesture, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. His niece said it was about $5,000, and there you have it. And with $5,000, it's not going to last all that long. But nonetheless, if you do it in $1 bills, I guess it didn't mention the denominations. But people liked it, and good for him. But Alzheimer's at 58 years old. Whoa. That's tough.
Yeah, that was sad.
Yeah. All right. Well, sure, why not? So there was gaiety and merriment. They have a picture, and what's interesting of the picture is most of the money is on the ground, and a lot of it. And so I would think that that someone who can walk pretty fast could scoop up quite a bit of this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How much was the helicopter rental?
I don't, you know, that's an interesting question. I don't know. And I also don't know if somebody donated it. You know, it might have been where somebody, yeah, you know, was in charge. Who knows? Maybe it was, you know, a radio or television station. now, what's interesting is the police are not investigating, but the FAA is launching a probe. So I guess
I'm sure they are, yeah.
Yeah, right. I guess we'll find out who had, and that's a great question. I'm going to see if I can find out who had his helicopter, because I don't think that's been on any of the news releases. So in his final act of love. Yeah, Daryl Plant Thomas. Yeah, where'd they get the helicopter? That's a good question. I don't know. I'll find out, I hope.
Okay. So I got a special election. I'm going to be working early voting and then the main one, and that'll be the first week of September.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. And I still got the NSU thing because I got to go Monday to turn in the IDs.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a registration, yeah. Yeah, and then I got three games working in RBJ because the football season is coming up.
Good.
So
tell me about this.
Preseason and the,
tell me about this election. What is the special election about?
I didn't really get to like the names, and you know, since this is a non-political show, so I don't want to.
Well, yeah, no, we're not going to talk
other than
about
just
politics,
a special election.
A special election, but
yeah,
it's like for a mayor or somebody. I mean, who's it for?
Yeah, it's some kind of municipality. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's nothing like.
All right.
Like
so,
a major one. Yeah.
Here's who's running in Tampa's upcoming election for District 5. And apparently Gwen Henderson, a council member, died.
Okay, I think you got it.
Yeah, yep. Died. So she died.
Okay.
And, you know, when they die, they no longer can vote. I mean,
then you got a special election,
you hope,
right?
Anyway, right, exactly. And so September 9th, apparently, is the election. Now, it's an interesting district because District 5 includes Ybor City. So that'll be good. So apparently a number of candidates, including her own daughter, are lining up. So all right. So that's
there you go. You hit it on the mark.
The
yeah. Thank you yeah. for that follow up. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's it.
All right. Well, I'll be interested to hear how it goes.
I know. Yeah. Okay, Raleigh. I'll let you go to the next call.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. All right. So her daughter. And then former city council member Orlando Gutis is making another bid. He lost his reelection against her, actually. And, you know, of course, while on the city council, he's a former Tampa police officer. He was investigated for crude and sexual comments made to a former aide who was Henderson's sister. All right. Such a little Peyton place. And apparently... The majority of the allegations were credible, said the investigation, but the lawsuit from the former aide was dismissed. All right, so we also have Hillsborough County Commissioner and Tampa City Council member Thomas Scott making another bid, and he was representing District 5 till 2011, spent 10 years on the Hillsborough Board of County Commissioners, and he's a senior pastor at the 34th Street Church of God in East Tampa. All right, well, get down with your bad self. So, I don't know. I guess that'll be four or five people, and Ybor City will get a new representative. So, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we have Karen in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN.
Hi. Yeah, I had a suggestion for Jim that might be even easier than Kindle. You have the National Library Service, and they are all across the United States. There are outlets in every state. Mine happens to be in Chicago. There's one in Springfield. They're all over. And you can sign up with your local library or with your Talking Book Center. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to find out. You will get a cartridge player. This is all free. They're very, very easy to operate. All the buttons are different shapes, and it has instructions that explain to you how to use it. You receive cartridges. You can order what you want. You can call your library, your Talking Book Center, and order anything that you want, and they'll send you the cartridge. Many times you get, now here we get five cartridges, five books on a cartridge. In some states, I know my girlfriend in Eau Claire says that she gets like 15 books on a cartridge. But it's very, very easy to maneuver from one book to another. And like I say, it has the machine, has instructions, and you'll get instructions on your cartridge how to go from book to book. And I love mine. I have had the service for years. We used to have four-track cassette tapes, which started out with 33 and a third records. Then you got the four-track cassette tapes, and now we have the cartridges. And the books are often recorded from, different audiobook services will allow a Talking Book Service to use their their books.
That's great. And it's free. That's the one thing about Kindle.
Yeah.
You know, even if you buy the Kindle, you got to buy the titles. And some people complain also about how the, you know, text-to-speech actually is on Kindle. I don't know. But, yeah, this is absolutely free. Yeah. And what's interesting is there's a lot more titles than people would expect.
Oh, it's incredible. And you can now, I have both. I have the cartridge player.
Okay.
And I also have the app where I can look books up on. It's called Bard.
Right.
B-A-R-D.
Yeah, Bard Express. Right, right. You can download them and put them on a flash drive and then play them on the NLS player.
Oh, yeah, you can do that too. Now, I can look mine up on my iPad.
Right.
Or a lot of times I get the cartridges, I call the librarian, I want a certain book, and maybe I can't, for some reason, can't find it, or I probably make mistakes, don't know how, but I can call the library and say, you know what, I'd like to read this book by so-and-so, or I have a favorite author, could you send me some books by that author? And they will send you a cartridge, and each one, like I said, they explain to you how you can go from book to book to see what you have on your cartridge, and you can select a book and you can play it.
That's a great idea. You know, that's a wonderful suggestion. I hope that Jim is still listening. I hope he'll take advantage of that because, as you say, absolutely free.
I love mine. I wouldn't be without, and I have so many friends, and the library people are wonderful about helping you. I wanted to get the app. I didn't know how, and I called my Talking Book Center here in Chicago, and she helped me do it, and she said, if you're having trouble, you can come down to our center, and one of us will meet with you and show you.
That's great. No, that's absolutely great. And especially if Jim is a reader, once he gets used to this, it's great.
Oh, I am, and so many of my friends are. I even belong to a book club of Talking Book users. We have one at the Lighthouse, and then one of my girlfriends has one. There are about five or six of us on that. And it's just, you can get any book you want, any genre.
Right.
I happen to be a detective story freak. I get a lot of them.
That's great. That's a great suggestion. Yeah. I'm glad you called.
And I'd also like to tell Jim to hang in there. I'm still praying for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been praying for you for a long time, and I'm still at it.
Well, I think it's working. All right, good
and
deal.
And you just keep up. Raleigh, thank you for letting me give that suggestion.
Oh, it's a wonderful suggestion. I'm so glad you called. Talk to you soon.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Yeah, so National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled, NLS, Library of Congress. And, you can probably just Google that because when you try to go there, it's like loc.gov/. Yeah, all right. So, just go ahead and Google NLS, National Library Service for the Blind, and up it will be. And, yeah, that's a great idea, and absolutely free. I like free. Yeah, that's the four-letter F word to me. All right, so I blew the news again, and, it's on and I'm not. And so we'll pick it up right after that. We got Ruth in Gurnee, who's been hanging on a while, and Linda in Richton. I hope she heard our, we played Mess Around for her. That was our first bumper. Hope she heard it. All right, we're going to talk about day trading. Why not? Cindy's afraid. We'll find out of what. And Rita in Harwood Heights, birthday bumper requests. Why not? On WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, Tubby wanted some Frankie Beverly and Mays, and she got some, absolutely. One of my faves, 1977, and that was on Capitol. All right, While I'm Happy. Yeah. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And last night, Linda called, and she said, I want to talk about day trading. So here we are, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm just fine. Is my radio too loud?
Nope.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks for playing my song, doing the Mess Around. Every time I hear this song, I start laughing at John Candy because he was so funny.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, so I didn't even know that until Johnny Goen told me that, because I'm not a movie person, but I sure remember the record, and I liked it.
You never saw the movie, Plane,
no.
Trains, and Automobiles? Oh,
I've only seen about five movies in my life. I don't go to movies. I don't do movies.
Well, can't you just look at the funny parts of some
Well, maybe, but I've never been interested. I just, you know, I never owned a TV before, John. I mean, it just doesn't interest me.
Oh, okay, yeah, well. See, that's, I'm just the opposite. I remember TV when I was a little bitty kid. We were looking at Kukla, Fran, and Ollie.
Sure,
I mean, that's,
sure.
That's way back. But right. Anyway, what I was calling about is the inside trading. Do you know anything about it that maybe you could give me a few pointers on it? I want to start doing some inside trading.
Well, it's not insider trading. Inside trading is illegal. You're talking about day trading.
Yeah. Okay. Day trading.
See, insider trading is illegal. What that means is that you got specific knowledge from the company of what was going to happen that the public didn't have, and you made a trade based on it. That's absolutely against the law. All right. So you're talking about.
I don't want to do that.
No. You're talking about day trading, and the reality is that it is really just legalized gambling, and it's mm-hmm. pure speculation. Now, the reason they call it day trading is the buy and sell is done within the same day. Now, in reality, for some people, depending, it might be a little longer than that. But the idea is that you are you're making very quick speculative investments. And so, you know, there are people, like I say, who make a living by this. And in some cases, depending on what they're trading with, they have to have a minimum account. Other, not really. Day tradings are usually in some form of leverage, like margin loans. And that means that you can wind up owing more money than you have. You not only lose, but you can actually come away owing money. So depending if you're doing that. Now, originally, this wasn't something an individual could do. And now that, of course, we have electronic trading and all of that, and, of course, the SEC rules over the years have changed as far as that goes. So now an individual can trade via some electronic trading platform. And so initially, when this really gained a lot of strength, it was during the dot-com rise-up. And it was a bull market. Mm-hmm. So from, like, 97 to 2000, a lot of people were talking about how much money they made. The NASDAQ went from, like, $1,200 to $5,000, and everybody was doing really well and all that. Well, of course, the bubble burst, and NASDAQ went down to $1,200 again. And so a lot of people went broke. Now, you could have made a fortune by short selling or, you know, looking at it that way. But the problem is why I say it's gambling is because, you know, you don't know. A hindsight is always 20/20. We can look back and say that would have been a good deal. You're not investing. Mm-hmm. Anybody who thinks they're investing, forget about it. This is not like Benjamin Graham value investing. It's nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, one of the problems is there's no shortage of people who are putting out newsletters and all this who are saying, oh, we've got the hot tips. We've got the expert advice and all that. Or, you know, they'll give you these seminars and all. No. Bottom line is it's gambling. And if you want to do it, you can. But understand the odds are you're going to lose, not make money. Just like if you go to Las Vegas. And so, you know, there were some things that were uniformly unprofitable, you know, where no matter what you did, you were going to lose. But as far as finding that hot ticket where everything was going to be up, well, nobody has.
All right. Well, I remember people saying they did the penny stock. They could be downtown in the Chicago loop, and they would go with the Hawks and whatever, and they could watch it with the penny stocks, and then they could, when it gets so high, they could draw their money out right then and there.
Well, if it got high. You see, that's presuming it's going up.
Oh, if it don't go up, then you'll lose your money.
That's correct.
If it goes so low.
That's correct.
But if it's penny stocks, you wouldn't care if you spend.
Well, it depends. Well, right. But if you're only spending a few pennies, you're not going to make that much. It's not going to suddenly be thousands of dollars.
Right. But that's the thing. It's just the fun of it, really.
Well, that's right.
I've heard of people.
And if you do
I've
it that.
Of people.
I was going to say, if you do it that way, that's great. If you go in there and say, this is just like going to Las Vegas, I got this much money, I might lose it all, and I don't care. I'm going to get on a platform where there's no minimum deposit, where there's zero commission mm-hmm. and all that, and I'm going to give it a try. Mm-hmm. And you can trade mm-hmm. stocks, you can trade options, you can trade ETFs. You know, I mean, you can absolutely do that. But understand that that the odds are you'll lose the money. Now, some people don't. Some people are just gifted at this, and they do very well. But, you know, the thing about penny stocks, and you kind of hit on it, it's, you know, it's very small dollars, but it's momentum. So these stocks move very quickly. And, maybe you'll gain a few 100%. Well, of course, remember, that's, you know, maybe a few $100, but you're probably going to mm-hmm. lose more than that as well. But, sure.
If you just take it out when you get up to those few $100, take it out when it gets to a certain amount, you could take it out.
Well, you can take it out, but you don't know that you're going up. You may be going down.
But when you with the penny stocks, can't you see it on the board?
Absolutely. But what I'm saying is, it's not like, gee, they'll all rise and I'll take it out at the perfect moment. They may not rise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so if you wanted to do it, that's absolutely fine. But you know, people are people for the most part aren't making a lot of money with penny stocks, but you know, most people are losing it, and there's not a lot to lose because you're not putting in there.
Mm-hmm.
But so it depends
mm-hmm.
what your goal is. If your goal is to go have a good time, then sure, go for it. But if you're saying, I found a way to make money, well, not so fast.
Right. So you know, I have a nephew just graduated from college. He's
all right.
A lawyer, and he works with this firm, and that's what all they do is stocks and stuff. He's with the corporate people.
But he's probably not day trading. And by the way,
not day trading at all. The firm that he works for, it's what do they call it? I can't think of what they call it, but they have a lot of money and they have a lot of clients.
Yeah.
And he just graduated college.
Uh-huh.
He's a lawyer, and he also went to school to learn how to sell those stocks. And he's with a firm. I can't think of the name of the firm now.
Okay.
But they say, everybody in the family say, he's already made himself millions of dollars.
Well, he may have. He may have. You know, you can also lose millions of dollars, but sure. And you know, if you're dealing with an individual firm, they're going to have a philosophy toward investing.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, I'm a big believer in Benjamin Graham value investing. You know, stocks that are underpriced and have very good financials and very low debt. That's what I'd be looking for. But
'cause he
got
his own. He got his own, I don't know what they call it, but it's called Chip Pack. And people, he let the family know, anybody want to invest into his own Chip Packs can. And they say on his mother's birthday, he was going to open it up to the world. Now they said this kid, he's only 24 years old, and he's a multimillionaire. And he works for a firm, and it's a... It's a conglomerate of a firm,
mm-hmm.
and they sent him all over
sure.
doing something.
Sure.
I'm saying, what is it? How did this kid make these millions?
Well,
I could invest into it, but I don't know if he can make money for me like that.
Well, and we don't know if he'll make money for him in the future either. You know, every stock you buy, and it's not only stocks, you know, you're trading in two things. You're trading in equities, which stocks is one of them, or you're trading in debentures. But here's the deal. Just like he makes money, he can just as easily lose it. And every stock you ever see advertised, if you notice, they have a disclaimer saying that past performance is not indicative of future gains. So in other words, you can see something that's been going up for the last 5 years, and it's a mutual fund. And it's a mutual fund with all the metrics that you like. And this is just great. And my God, even 3 years ago when everybody was only making 0.5%, this one was doing 7%. Oh, it's so wonderful. Well, next year it might fail. You just don't know.
Yeah, they say he's working with a corporate firm.
Yeah.
So I don't know, and they already got him. He's made so much money. He's living in Chicago Loop in one of those high-rise apartment buildings that costs a fortune. But even though he haven't gotten his lawyer's license, they say he can still trade because he's been working with them. He's taking a test. He's taking a test to become a lawyer.
Right. Whether he's a lawyer or not has nothing to do with trading. They're not related.
Mm-hmm.
So if he wants to go take the bar and become a lawyer and pass the bar, that's fine. If he doesn't, that's fine. And it's great that he's doing fine now, but that doesn't mean that he'll do fine tomorrow. We just don't know. And some people have a better track record than others. But very often when somebody is making unprecedented gain, they're often taking unprecedented risk. You know, there's a story.
Yeah.
The worst kind of thing is to have to be a treasurer for a fiduciary entity like an insurance company or maybe a county or something like this, because you have requirements that you have to do to keep the money safe for either if it's a township, you know, the residents, the property owners, or if it's an insurance company, the clients. Well, okay. So there was a guy in Orange County. His name was Bob Citrone. I know his name so well because I wrote him a check every year. Because I had property there. Anyway, Bob Citrone was a cowboy. And Bob Citrone was making more money than any other county man. His coffers were so full. You know what's coming, don't you? Well, what he was doing that a lot of people didn't know, he was speculating to hell and back. He was trading on some of the most risky things and options and you could imagine. And so he was the golden boy for like 15 years. Well, until he went bankrupt. So the deal is, yes, you can make a lot of money, but there's a very simple formula, and it's always the fact, and that is the higher potential return, the greater the risk. And so it depends on whether you have a taste for risk. You know, if you're like the little ladies who are buying a utility and they're clipping coupons and just getting a quarterly interest check or whatever, there's very little volatility in that, you know. But there's also, you're not going to wake up one morning and get an 800% gain. If you're seeing that people, oh, my God, I took my money and I increased it by 8,000%, that's pure risk. And if you want to do that, that's fine. But there's no magic ticket where you can have low risk and high return. Anybody who's selling you that is going to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge, too.
Well, I think maybe I better. I'm trying to find something to do.
Well, you could do it. You could
make my money up that I lost. Maybe I better go into real estate.
Well, and
maybe I should go that route.
I'm not sure that right now is the best time for that either. You got to look at that. But although, that said, even in the worst times, somebody profits. But if you were interested in day trading, you could take a little bit of money that you didn't care if you lost it and try it out.
Yeah, well, I do good at the riverboat.
All right. Well, there you are. Well, this is just like that. This is the same.
I did very good at the racetrack. I was good at handicapping.
Well,
but it's just the point. I was trying to make some money up that my husband lost before he passed away. He lost $100,000.
Oh, I hate hearing that.
And people ripped him off real good.
Yeah.
They were his friends. He had more friends than.
Yeah.
White on rice, and
yes.
They just ripped him off. When he died, he had no more of that money. I left that night, and I said, "Man, if I just had a half or just a little bit of that money," he just basically gave it away. He was so free hearted. But I'm thinking how I can make my money back. Maybe I'm gonna have to do like Reverend Ike or somebody.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, all right. All right, sure. We'll popularize your ministry, sure.
Give me a few dollars like that,
you know.
Up a prayer. But I'm glad you told me, and you gave me some good advice, which you always do.
But like I say, if you want to have fun doing it, you know, the only difference between this and the racetrack is that the racetrack, you know, you may have some nice beverages or at the casino or whatever. They're not feeding you when you're doing this. So, you know, but if you want to go and try it. Just don't take more money than you are not willing to lose. Just take what you're willing
to lose.
Right.
Well, what I usually do is when I win my money, I put it up in my little personal safe and let it build up, you know.
Right, you sequester the principal so that you can't lose what you know, absolutely, I know. All right, well, sure, that's the deal. But anybody who tells you there's a guaranteed thing is lying through their teeth.
Well, I'm going to get out of this hole. I mean,
yes, you will.
Because I told my husband, I said, you shouldn't spend all that money up. I told him that on his deathbed. I love you still.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
$100,000. He said, I don't have any more money.
Oh,
but I love you. I wanted to choke him, but I couldn't. He was dying.
Oh, yes.
I forgive him for it. You know, I love that man. I was married to him for 40-something years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he just went. When he got that money, he wanted some money from a lawsuit.
Okay.
And he got $100,000.
And lost
it. That's what he didn't lose it. He went out. Everybody was telling him he looked great. He just fine as most handsomest man. Oh, you just it. You're the ball. You're the bump. I couldn't even get to my husband. Next thing I know, he didn't give his father $20,000 to give his. He found a daughter. He hadn't seen her since she was 2 days old. She popped up at the front door. He bought her a mink coat, cowboy head, cowboy shoes. I'm saying, like, where's my money?
Well, you know, he went out having a good time. He enjoyed himself.
Oh, he did. I said, that was good. He asked me to forgive him. I said, I forgive you because we went all the way back from 11th grade when we were dating. But I said to my son, I got to get out of this hole. I mean, I lost a lot of stuff from that. But getting off that subject, I got some songs I want for you to play for me.
All right, what you want?
I want you to play Tina Marie. What is the song? I'm Not Giving Up on Love.
Okay.
I think that's the name of it.
Okay.
And also, I like you to play the song by Eddie Murphy. Let's Dance Until the Money Is All Gone. You heard that before?
No, but I will when I play it for you.
You don't even think it's Eddie Murphy singing. Then I like two old songs, Do the Hucklebuck.
Oh, okay.
And Come On Baby, Let's Do the Twist by Chubby Checkers.
Oh, not the original not the original Hank Ballard, huh? Okay.
I don't remember Hank Ballard.
Well, he wrote and recorded it. He got screwed out of it, but at least he got the writer's royalties. But
okay.
It sounds the same, almost note for note. But yeah, I'll play them for you.
Right.
You betcha. I will do it.
All right, now I'll be calling you again sometime. Thank you for your advice,
as usual. All right.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. All right, so I think we have once again blown the break. But, you know, I'm nothing if not consistent, and we'll pick it up right after the news on WGN Radio.
I'm gonna kiss you in a special way.
W. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and absolutely Barbara Lewis. And it's been a while that we had that request, but it was, in fact, Bob from Wisconsin who said, play Make Me Your Baby, and I'm happy to do that. So 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. So Laura, yes, the big-time producer here, her play. So what's going on with the rehearsals?
Oh, my goodness. Sunday is tech day, so you know what that means. But first thing, I says, oh, I have to cover the sound effects. So I like, okay, I'm looking at the script. It says there's a certain part, there's sound effects. Well, you don't use sound effects till the week of the show, so I haven't gone over it. So I talked to the producer, and she says, well, you can't do sound effects now. You're going to mess the cast up. She says, if you haven't practiced with it now, you can do it later. She says, well, I says, well, we wanted to use microphones, first of all. Oh, no, there's no no cordless mics available. Okay. And, well, if not, then you could use a tape recorder, tape their voice, and put it through. Well, no, that won't work either. Like, okay. But that was the writer that put that in there.
Right.
So, like, okay, to me, this 10-minute play does not need these sound effects. So it's like, okay. So I said, well, we're going to cut that. It's like, okay. Nobody tells you this.
Oh, man.
Then I says, well, I recall in the 60 plays that I've done, you have to do a pre-show huddle. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but before the show, the director and the cast get together and the crew, and you give them a rah-rah session. Oh, you're doing good, and do this, and rah-rah. It's just boom-bah. So I'm like, okay, now I got to come up with something to say for this darn thing. Like, okay, how do I do this in a short motivational type thing? Like, okay. Then they're like, well, where are we going to put, there's 8 casts and probably 3 each. Where are they going to put everybody to do their pre-show huddle? Oh, well, they says, well, you could go outside if you want to be out by yourself. It's like, okay, that way we don't have to try to steal the room from everybody else. So, like, okay, we're going to do our outside pre-show huddle.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Have you ever heard of that type of thing, pre-show huddle?
No, I know so little about this. But it's interesting to me, for instance, that there were sound effects in there and nobody gave you any guidance in terms of when and how to insert them.
Well, the writer says sound effects. He says where to put it, and one, he wants it to be he wants it on a microphone so that he could do that an echo could be done. And
right.
She says, that can't be done. Like, okay, I didn't know that.
No, what I mean, I understand how the writer gives you the direction. What I didn't understand is how they didn't, the producer and all that who you're dealing with, didn't tell you in advance what wouldn't work.
Well, see, I didn't bring it up till now. I would have thought that they would have read the script and looked at all that.
Right. But... Well, you see, the thing is, here you are, you're like a first-time director on this.
Yes.
So you're relatively a novice in this. Theoretically, people who aren't novices should have anticipated this and told you.
Yes, thank you. So it's like, okay, well, we can, I mean, it's been going fine without the sound effects. Would it be kind of cool if it had eerie sound effects, but oh well. She's like, well, nope, that can't be possible.
Yeah, it'd be
nice
if they told you beforehand.
Yes, thank you. So I'm going to mention that. Then I says, okay, well, Sunday is run of the show with costumes and everything. I says, I better make sure I do a curtain call because you got to block. It's like everybody comes out, takes a bow, whatever.
Right, right.
So like, okay, so I got to figure that out. And then I'm supposed to be directing this myself. The lady that says, well, you're getting too much input from other people. She thinks I'm getting input from the writer.
Well,
then she says, what about this? What were you going to say?
I was going to say, too much input. Well, you're also getting no input on the things you need, like these sound effects.
Thank you. So then she says, I'm getting too much input from the writer, because once the writer gives you the script, they should just shut up. So then she says, well, how about this? She says, well, you could do this, 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 and this. I wanted to say, you're doing exactly what you told me not to.
Right.
Don't ask for other people's
right.
opinion. She's like, well, do the curtain call this way, and it would work better, and it would be fast. I'm like, oh, my God, really?
Well, I think all the suggestions you're getting, take them with a grain of salt. If something in there resonates with you and you say, yeah, that's what I'd like to do, great. If it doesn't, just discard it.
Thank you. Well, I learned that. Well, thank you for that. Yeah, I learned that. Like, I says, oh, nice suggestion. Thank you. I'll think about it.
Absolutely.
I've got a lot of stuff in my mind.
Absolutely. That's exactly what you say. Great suggestion. Thanks for that. It doesn't mean you're going to do it.
Yes, yes. And then I says, okay, this crazy play, it's like every play I've been in, this one's three nights. Some casts go have one cast party, either opening night, Saturday night, or closing night. Some casts are crazy, and they like, okay, let's go for drinks and food every night. So I said, okay, so what are we doing? Are we having a cast party? No, we're going to wait till we find out who the winner is and then do it. So in 1 to 2 weeks, they're going to figure out who the winner of this contest is, the top three. So we're going to do cast party in 2 weeks.
Now, this play is 10 minutes long?
Yes.
Oh, man. All right.
Yes, so it's 8 plays. They call it the 10-minute play festival. I didn't know this was a thing, but there's a lot of groups out there that do this, and I've never heard of it before.
Yes, speed playing, kind of like speed dating.
Yes. So it's been fun, but it's like nerve-wracking. It's like I thought I would get more assistance as to, well, this is how this works. And like you said, the producer, I think the producer, did she claim she's done this 5 times? I want to say, well, she needs a little work.
Yeah, it doesn't sound, as far as that goes, like it was well put together, because they're under the assumption that there are things you know that you could never know because you haven't done it.
Exactly.
And so you would think that they would anticipate this. I mean, a lot of these plays are going to call for sound effects. So if they're saying you can't do sound effects, as they're giving you the play, they should say, and by the way, we can't do sound effects. You know, there should have been, I would think. So is this, I know there's, they call the 10-minute play competition at Heartland Theater. Is it part of that?
No, this is the Green Man Theater.
Okay. All right. So they do this, I guess, across the country.
Yeah, and I had never heard of it before.
Yeah.
All the years I've been in theater, and I've never heard of this.
Well, and I've never seen it advertised to see the play. But then again, you know, I'm probably out of it. Okay, so Green Man Theater Troupe in Elmhurst, 8 to the Bar, 2025. Fifth annual, 8 to the Bar, an evening of 8 10-minute plays. The prompt is Moving On. I don't know. I hope you're enjoying yourself, because they're not.
I am, but it's just... Oh, sometimes frustrating. It's like, they should have. And she'll say, well, she says, and every once in a while she'll say, well, you know, this is your first directing. And she does say that, so she's aware of it. She's like, well, would you like me to watch and give some input? I'm like, well, yeah, and I'll ask for suggestions, or what her directorial type suggestions. But it's like, okay, yeah, she's had a few things that I think she should have informed me or told me before this all, as it. It's almost late. Too late for that.
So you're doing Ghostlight. And yes. And with Antonio Arellano, William Lyons, and Jacob Borey. All right.
Yep.
So, all right. So let's see what you're against. You're up against a benevolent alliance of mourners. All right. That sounds like a wonderful day in the park. Acting, acting on impulse. All right. College hunk movers. Ghostlight. Hope and Greg. None of Your Beeswax, Path of Love, and Wishes.
Have you ever heard of the Real Company Hunk Movers?
No. There is one?
Yeah, there's, at least in Illinois, I don't know if it's around the country or not, but it's young guys that, they claim they're young guys out of college, and come to find that in this play, you basically hire these hunks to move your stuff, like when you're moving from one house to another or something, and you're supposed to get these hot hunks that are supposed to move your stuff.
Mm-mm.
Well, in this play, the guy's come and he's like 65 years old and he's not a hunk, but he owns this company. And the movers are so disappointed.
Well, yeah, it's kind of always like that. And, you know, I haven't run into college hunks. I'm not totally surprised. But, you know, starving students was one of the chains. There were a ton of them. You know, and they were never students, by the way. I mean, maybe they were once upon a time, but not that I've ever heard of. I think college hunks, I just looked them up while we're talking. The parent organization is 1-800-JUNK. Oh, that's nice. They're headquartered in Tampa. And they provide junk removal, local and long distance. You know, ever since they deregulated moving again, it's just been horrible. So anyway, so they're going to do a play about these hunk movers. All right, well, why not? Well, why not?
So, I know. So I'm thinking maybe that's one of my competition, because that was one of my choices if I didn't get this play.
Oh.
And the other one, I think the Wishes play.
Okay.
That one's about this guy that goes to a water fountain. You know how you're supposed to throw a coin in the fountain to make a wish?
Yeah.
And this guy goes to a fountain, and he starts taking the coins out of there, and somebody catches him. They say, "What the heck are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm good at granting wishes." So he says, "I pick up these coins and want to see what the people want, and then they come true." So that looked like a good competition, too.
Huh.
But so we'll see. Huh. But I'm annoyed that it's like, okay, if they're... I don't know if they're voting by paper or by computer, but it's like, okay, you're voting Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the audience. Like, okay, why do we have to wait 2 weeks to find out the winner? That's just really annoying me.
You know, this is fascinating to me. What do you win?
Oh, the writer of the play. The actors get nothing. The writer of the play, first prize. Wait, I'm sorry. I'll go third prize is $50. Second prize is $100. If you're the winning play right, you get $300.
Uh-huh. I see that the Green Man Theater also has cemetery walks. Maybe you want to do next... Yes, okay. Maybe you want to do that next time. Yes, two different cemetery walks.
I can do that.
So, and they have casts at their cemetery walk. I don't know. I would think every cemetery walk, I think the cast was dead. But
you'd think.
Yeah. Well, this is fascinating. I think after this is over, you're kind of going to have to assess whether you ever want to do this again in life itself.
Exactly. Yes, I'm on the fence with that. It's like, I go, I really like this. Oh, this is annoying. Oh, I really like this. Oh, God, this is annoying. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Well, you've got more motivation and ambition than me, that's for sure. But apparently this is going on at theaters, similar things all over the country, I guess. So
I think so.
Somebody came up with it, and, I can't imagine. But
maybe I should write the play instead of direct it.
Well, and then you got to get it accepted. You know, that's a deal, too. They take all these submissions and, you write it.
Yes.
Maybe no one will ever ever go ahead and produce it. But I think if you wrote it, you could write it about these competitions.
Yes. Oh, and wait, then the writer, I'm not keeping him informed because I don't want to tell him this stuff. He'll be kind of mad probably because we took out the sound effects. We're not doing the sound effects. I don't think he'll be happy about that. But hey, it's just suggestions. We don't have to do what he
says. Well, not only that, it's not your fault. You were told you can't do it.
Exactly.
So there's no issue there. You don't have to revisit that. They're saying, nope, you can't do it. So
Right. The producer says, well, if it's a legal problem, because you know how writers are picky, she says, it's a legal problem, it won't be a problem, I'll cover it. Like, okay, thank you.
All right. Well,
oh my gosh.
There you go. All right.
Well, thank you, Rally. You're always awesome with your help. And,
I can't wait to hear how this goes. Keep me posted. All right.
Will do.
Thanks. Okay,
have
bye.
Have a great weekend.
You
bye.
Too. Yeah, I don't know. More ambition than me, that's for sure. 888-876-5593. I don't know if Ruth is still there, but we're going to check with Ruth. And I better check with Rita because she has birthday requests, and it's already another day. I hope the birthday wasn't yesterday. Well, we'll pick it up there on WGN Radio. Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's for Cindy. She requested that a while ago. The Spinners on Atlantic 1972. And we'll pick it up. Maybe we'll talk to Cindy right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
When I love, I get a feeling like I'm traveling through the sky.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and there you have it, the Everly Brothers, and actually fairly recent comparatively, and that was a request, and who wanted to hear it? Billy Bob and Bourbon A, 1984 on Mercury on the Wings of a Nightingale. All right, so 888-876-5593. I doubt she waited, but let's check and see if Rita in Harwood Heights are there. Are you there, Rita?
Yes, I'm here.
My God, well, thank you, thank you, thank you. So birthday requests, hopefully it wasn't now yesterday.
It was on the 9th.
Okay. Well, all right. So
you,
what?
Well,
what
you
is
were
it?
Kind well, of busy talking to other people,
yeah.
And you really needed some emotional support. So,
so
that
what,
was all right.
What do you want
have
to
I,
hear?
Well, I have a list.
Okay. You heard your you heard your other ones, right?
Not really.
I played them all.
You did?
Every one of them.
Oh. Well, I had the 12th of Never.
Okay.
Is one of them.
All right.
Okay, and then You Don't Know Me.
Okay.
The Wonder of You.
Okay.
And then Roberta Flack had a good song that you played a long time ago. I like that song. I can't remember what
was it
called.
Was it You Are My Heaven, the duet with Donny Hathaway?
Maybe.
Okay.
It was one of her more famous ones.
Well, could be anything. Roberta. First time ever I saw your face. I mean, there's so many choices.
Oh, maybe that was it. First time I saw your face,
okay.
Maybe.
Okay, I saw your face. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's it.
All right. I will do it, and I will play all four of them next week. So I hope you don't miss this group.
I hope not.
Well,
okay, well,
so,
thank you.
Well, happy birthday. I hope it was a nice day.
Well, thank you. Well, it was... You know, we're having storms right now.
Yeah.
And I was a victim of a microburst, big storm we had in May.
Oh,
and
man.
So, Lou Manfredini there on WGN, he gave me a lot of helpful hints.
Wow.
On getting the chimney fixed, the windows, all this stuff that went wrong.
Oh, yes, and it can. I had that happen once and a tree fell through my house.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah
both
absolutely.
Of my trees in the front. Both my trees in the front gave up part of them.
Oh, bad.
Not on me, thank goodness. They landed in my parking space. I have a reserved parking space for the disabled, but they landed in that space when I was gone.
Wow.
And, so I was lucky there.
Yes, you were. All right.
And I was really thinking about that fellow who had been given power of attorney.
Oh, I know. You're talking about Kevin in Colorado Springs, who his family, what a horrible family, said, well, we're putting you in assisted living and we're giving all your CDs to Goodwill.
Right.
I
I'm at that stage right now where I have to, my brother in Kansas decided he didn't want to deal with my estate stuff.
Uh-huh.
So he sent all the legal papers back to me and everything, said find somebody else. So I've got a lawyer now. I'm trying to, and I have to find a power of attorney, and I don't know who to get.
Well, here's the deal. Okay, here's the deal on power of attorney. It should not become effective until certain things happen, like you are totally unable to care for yourself, or, there should be benchmarks. It shouldn't be a power of attorney that's effective now.
Uh-huh.
You want to make sure that you're not giving up your independence.
Right.
I treasure my
independence.
Right. And
I
so,
really do.
And also, this is different than a durable power of attorney for healthcare decisions. A durable power of attorney for healthcare decisions means that in the event that you cannot make your own medical decisions, you're in a coma or whatever, that person will make them for you. Now, the danger to this is even if you have a living will, whoever is your who you're given power of attorney to, they can make their own decisions. So you want to pick somebody who will carry out what you want. And, usually that's sometimes tough if you have kids and you want to go if there's anything, DNR and all that, and they want to keep you alive. That's usually the scenario you're trying to avoid. But whatever it is, your wishes should be in stone, and you should pick somebody who will follow them through.
Yeah. But, well, at 85, I just turned 85. So
okay.
At this age, a lot of people that I used to know are gone.
Of course they are. No, we're in the same boat. I say just about everybody who was in my life is on the other side. Of course that's true. So mm-hmm. I understand that. But the big thing in who you pick, obviously, is, their honesty and integrity. But most of all, that they'll carry through what you want. But nothing should become effective until you are completely incapacitated. In other words, you're not giving someone a power of attorney at this point in time. It's just if certain things happen.
Yeah, well, it's a hard thing to deal with.
But it is.
I feel so sorry for that man.
Oh, I do too.
He's in one room.
Yeah, unconscionable. Even in one room, hell, he could have had one wall that was nothing but CDs. I mean, the fact that they would do that to him, there's always a backstory here and more to the story, but these are soulless people. And mm-hmm. I'm sorry Kevin wasn't in a situation where he could say, the hell you will. But
I hope he calls in frequently to have you play different music.
Yeah, I hope he does.
Because he has nothing then,
Well,
he'll
be able to find all of this. Like I said, make all these files online. It's not the same as having the hard copy of the music, but he will be able to find it. And thank God he's got good food where he is, but it's a really an unconscionable thing that hit him out of the blue, because what happened was he was married and his wife said, I'm getting a divorce. And so he went out to his sister in Colorado Springs. And next thing she says, you're going to assisted living. Just horrible. And I agree. My heart cries, no doubt about that. And hopefully he'll be able to amass a lot of the songs he likes on digital, on his computer and all that. So at least he'll have that. But I can't imagine what would motivate someone to do that. It's just beyond me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cruel.
Right. Unless they hate him, I can't figure it out.
Yeah, and they want to get it off their... their shoulders and get on with their life and forget about him.
Every family has one. It's unfortunate. I've talked to many people over the years when their parents have died and they had siblings, and there's usually always one who's the person who's going to abscond with it all somehow. Every family has one. Yeah, I had the benefit of being an only child. So anyway, all right. Well, I will.
Okay, I'll be listening for you.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
bye
good
bye.
Deal. Yeah, so 888-876-5593. But yeah, it never fails as far as those stories go. And it's unfortunate as all get out. And my heart cries for Kevin, that's for sure. And I still can't believe that happened to him. All right, so now, we played Tubby's request. I hope she heard it. Did you hear your request when we played it? Tubby. Well.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, that's you. We played your request. Did you hear it?
Which one did you play?
Frankie Beverly and May's While I'm Happy, 1977 on Capitol.
Yes, darling. Thank you so much.
All right. What a wonderful song.
You said something about my request before I heard my name.
Yeah.
I was still thinking about that guy, and then it took me back. You threw me back because I don't have time to worry about that woman. I can't believe I have no way of figuring out how to fight that HUD rule that took all Will's stuff. He was talking about Shirley Ryan today and how he said at least they gave you a choice, a menu with a choice. I said, well, who would expect you to be able to do the physical therapy after 7 hours surgery, which they at Northwestern at heart, he had that aorta aneurysm that they did through his groin for 7 hours, okay? And how would you expect him to keep up? He was always talking about good job. Yeah, they work you, but their therapist, but at that time, he's just we're both methodical. And I knew when he rested, he didn't have any time to rest, and you know, you don't get no rest in the hospital. The people come and wake you up 3 times a day at least to check your vitals.
Mm-hmm.
So as we stand today, I can't believe that woman came from housing. When I went to them to get assistance to figure out what's the next thing to do, because the man can't, he still can't walk. He's at Warren Barr now. Oh. And I told him, don't be trying to move because it's a nursing home. You know, they have
rehab hospital, like a rehab hospital.
Yeah, it's a rehab nursing. Yeah, it's a rehab nursing home.
Yeah.
And I said, don't you let nobody come up here and try to move you or talk you into going to a regular nursing home.
Right.
Because then you can just go in the towel.
Right. You just get warehoused. You're right. That's absolutely true. You want to be in a full rehab hospital. You betcha.
And I'm still questioning, who can fight HUD? When that woman came in that house, the same police came with her that I had called before she got there from house. I went to his housing association and said, well, he's going to need to be reclassified into housing that is helpful to him to get in a first floor elevator
right.
or first floor residency.
Right.
And you know, I'm going to say who's really overworked too is your social workers.
Oh, absolutely. The caseload that some of they have is enormous.
Do you think I have heard from them? And I'm not contacting them because I'm trying to keep low profile.
Yeah.
I try to play low profile because there's so many people have it. I mean, anytime you can have a city where you got people, they allow them to sleep on bus stops in sub-zero weather.
I know.
But you can let a lot in. I'm not trying to get political, but you can let a whole... You can house and feed people who will bust to you, okay? But you can't figure out how to get people off the street in sub-zero weather sleeping in the street. I don't get it. And I talk to my alderwoman quite often. She's a neighbor. And I help get her an office. But I say, you know, they don't want to do the hard work. They don't want to do it. Somebody does not want to do it. They got a whole lot of property down there at LaSalle and down there in LaSalle and Jackson down at the end of our little mini Wall Street. Because after COVID, a lot of those properties are vacated.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even being used by anybody. And I hate to be so cruel. A lot of people got checks when they were doing drugs, so they get SSI checks, right? And they don't want to pay for housing. Someone gets something out, but they don't even want to give up part of their check to pay for the amount of housing costs today. But you guys got to say something else. And I don't mean to be cruel, but if you're not willing to pay part of your housing, then you should go to jail. You know, get them off the street, ride in the train. It is a nuisance because it's like a double-edged sword. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, and there are no easy answers to this. It's on so many layers. That's why we don't discuss it. You know, peeling back the layers is like peeling an onion. There's so many facets to this. And it's,
right, and you want to help people. And even today, there's been a woman that's been sleeping out at Howard. I go to the subway up there at the bus line, She has literally been out there for 3 weeks peeing on herself on this one car bench.
I'm so sorry.
And sleeping outside. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how you couldn't help anybody. But even, you know, even a meal seems so redundant in this world, you know. And I always say, you know, people, I'm not trying to get political on you. You can get a cell phone, but you can't get a glass of water. That's just pure greed, okay? That's all it is. But anyway, happy. How about a little Barry White?
Ooh, Barry White, the round mound of sound. What do you want to hear by Barry?
Da-da-da. You know I don't know the name.
All right. Barry White it is. You'll get it next week, I promise.
Have a lovely weekend.
All right, you too. God thanks. Bless. Appreciate it. All right, so we'll pick it up in moments, and can't believe that some of you have been waiting, and I really appreciate that. It's I know I'm paying the freight, but even so, I appreciate you waiting. So we'll get to Cindy in Chicago. We played a request too. How about that? And we'll get to Ruth if she's still with us, and of course Isaac. He will end the night tonight on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That, of course, are the Crests on Joyce, 1957. Flip side of my Juanita. And it was, now who requested that? You know, I had everything written down and I've lost it. Well, I hope you enjoyed the Crests because I had it before. Oh, well. Big thanks for requesting it. All right. So I think I've got all your requests for next week and I'm on track. We'll see. Cindy in Chicago, are you still with us? No, Cindy went to bed. It was the prudent thing to do all the way around. I am believing that that's true for Ruth and Gurney. You're not still there, are you, Ruth? No, of course not. That couldn't possibly be right. And, yeah, they hung on for over 2 hours. I know, but I'm paying for it. All right, Isaac on the South Side. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
I hung up, too. I went to bed also. Sorry.
Oh, that's fine.
No. all right. So Tubby was talking about the guy. Wait. Did you play the July 12th?
I forgot.
Okay, good. Because I wasn't. I'm like, I think you had to play the earlier. But anyway,
no, I forgot entirely. You know, it's so funny you requested it. And I guess I haven't found that piece of paper yet. So I guess I'll have to.
Right.
I guess I'll have to
you
play have it next week. Yes. All right.
That's fine.
Actually, I'm going to write it down on the computer. I'll type it.
Great.
Yeah. All right.
But Tubby was talking about the guy, them getting him and Shirley Ryan ability lab. My great grandmother went to Shirley Ryan. It's a great rehab place.
She was
also at Northwestern as well, and she had major back surgery. And
uh-huh.
I'm talking, I know it was not 24 hours later.
Yeah.
She was in the room, and they came in the room and told her that they were going to stand her up.
Right.
And she was screaming, and I had to leave the room because I just could not damn it, see her in that much pain. But, you know, they don't let you, you know, sit there and,
absolutely,
you know, they come and get you right away. So that's what I was just calling to reiterate.
Shirley Ryan is wonderful. In fact, when John had a stroke, I was really sad that we weren't able to get there, obviously, from the Phoenix area, because
it's a hard one to get into.
Yeah, that's just as good as it gets. And I mean, we managed to get good care and it wasn't a problem, but by comparison, night and day. So that's Chicago's best rehab resource. And anybody who qualifies to get in Shirley Ryan, go.
Yeah, I have an uncle. He was on the news last night. He's a firefighter here in Chicago, and he's trying to get a kidney. And there's a guy from Arizona who is donating his kidney to him. They went on the news asking for it, and a guy all the way in Arizona is going to donate.
That's great. That's wonderful.
All right. That's all I was calling to say, Raleigh. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Thanks for calling. All right, so, and apologies about July the 12th. And let's see, so now I got 30 seconds, and Ruth has called back. So, Ruth, you've got 30 seconds, and I mean it.
Well, that's 10 seconds more than 3 weeks ago. Now, the interesting thing is something really unique happened here in Gurnee, Illinois, the home of Mayor Brotherhood. I called at 10:15 tonight, and I've waited almost 3 hours. But at 10:20, the lightning came through.
All right, that's the 30 seconds. The show is over. I promise when you call next week, I'll get
30.
To you more soon. Well, actually, you've got 30.
I had 30.
All right, show is over.
Seconds.
Thanks for calling. And I'm sorry about that. I can't do anything about this. Bob is keeping us in line, and we thank him for doing that. And we thank John for screening your calls. And, of course, you for calling. And apologies to Ruth and everybody else who is still holding. But we'll do it again next week right here. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.